But I have a question for you. And I don't know, but it's a question that I ask myself all the time. Does God have a plan for me? I wonder what you think about that. Does God have a plan for you and for your life? Is there something that he wants you to do? And I was thinking, you know, there's so many things that make us wonder, does God have a plan for us? You know, sometimes it's how old or young we are. Sometimes we think we're too young for God to use us. Sometimes, maybe like me, you think I'm too old for God to use me. I don't know. But sometimes I think even, you think all the people in the world, all the people that you know, why would God want to talk to me? Why would he want to use me for anything? And I went on the internet yesterday and I was trying to think of all the different things. And here's a wee family. And I was trying to think, do you ever wonder, why would God want to use me? You're one person among maybe 5 or 6 different people in your family. And you maybe think that God would like to use your mommy or daddy and have a plan for them. Maybe you think God has a plan for your brother or your sister, but not so sure about you. What about your church? Sometimes we think God has a plan for our church or for our pastor or for the elders or deacons or for our Sunday school teachers. But we're just one and maybe 300 or 400 people. Does God really, is he interested in me? Does he have a plan for me? Is it not just all these big people or all these people who are doing things for God that he's interested in? And what about Northern Ireland? Where do you see many people in Northern Ireland? 1,741,600. You are just one of that 1,700,000 people. Is God interested in you? Does God want to use you? Does he have a plan for your life? Or is he just interested in the politicians who run Northern Ireland and all the really important people who work in our land? And here we have the United Kingdom. 60,975,000. And you're just one of those people. That's more people than I can even imagine. I couldn't imagine that many people. And yet you're just one. And I'm just one. But is God interested in you? Is he interested in me? Or is he interested in important people? And here we have the world. In the world, you are one person of 6,602,224,175. I didn't try to memorize that, and that's why I made the wee mistake. But there you are. I've even put a wee arrow up to show you where Northern Ireland is in the world. And you look how huge that world is and all those people. And yet do you ever wonder, is God interested in you? Well, when we go to the Bible, we have lots of examples where God was interested in individuals. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read of this guy here. His name is David. And I'm sure you all know who he is, don't you? You've heard about him in Sunday school. And you've heard about him in your children's meetings and all different things. And David was a shepherd. And he lived in Bethlehem. And in 1 Samuel 16, we read about him. And he seems such a good boy. You know, he's only about 13 or 14 years old. He's not very old at all. And he's sitting out on the hillside. And he's a shepherd and he's looking after the sheep. And he's doing lots of things on the hillside. He's learning about God. We read about all the things that he learned about God when he looked up into the heavens and he seen the stars and he knew about God. He learned about being a shepherd. He learned about looking after sheep and he had to care for the sheep when they were sick. He had to protect them from wild beasts and he had to go and find them when they got lost. And of course he praised God a lot because he wrote psalms, he wrote hymns and poems talking about how wonderful God was. You know, for us adults, this is probably our ideal child. So good. Better than we are. And yet, poor David was forgotten by his family. Because what happened in Bethlehem at this time, whenever David was out on the hillside, the most famous celebrity in Israel arrived at his house, and his name was Samuel. And he was very important in the land. He was the advisor to the king. He was the prophet of God. And he had come to Bethlehem because God had sent him on a special mission. He was to go and he was to find the next king of Israel. And it was somebody very important. It was somebody who was described by God as a man after God's own heart. And you know, whenever Samuel went to the house, and Jesse, David's father, was there, and he heard there was going to be a great sacrifice, and he says, gather all your children together, we're going to have this sacrifice. So Jesse got his family, he got his 6 big sons all. They were some of them were soldiers in Saul's army. And he got them all together and he brought them and he presented them to Samuel. And one by one, God told Samuel, no, it's not him. And you know, the thing was, they were really impressive in Samuel's eyes. Samuel thought, these are good, strong men. They have lots of experience fighting battles. They have done lots of things in life. They would be perfect for God to use. But God said no. And when he got down to number 6, God was still saying no. And Samuel, I'm sure, was wondering what was happening. And it says in verse 11 in chapter 6, 1 Samuel 16, and Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Poor David was out in the fields. He was looking after the sheep. He was being such a good boy, doing everything that he was supposed to do, and yet his daddy forgot about him. Didn't invite him to the party, didn't invite him to the feast, didn't invite him to meet this favorite this celebrity called Samuel. Isn't that sad? And yet, the very reason God sent Samuel to Bethlehem was to meet David. And it wasn't because he was a good poet. It wasn't because he knew so much about God. It wasn't because he was learning to be a shepherd. He sent him because David loved God. And David wanted what God wanted. Now, can I ask you this morning, does God have a plan for you this morning? Does God have a, do you think of you among all the people in this church or among all the people in this world? And maybe you don't feel very important. You don't feel very big. You don't feel that you're able to do lots of things. But God tells us that he has a plan for you. And the answer is yes, he does. And you know, that plan starts whenever you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. What does the Bible tell us? Tells us that if we have sinned, that we cannot talk to God, we cannot serve God, we cannot do what God wants us to do. But the Lord Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. And when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, when he takes the penalty for our sins, then we start on God's plan for our lives. And it doesn't matter how young or how old we are. It doesn't matter whether we're 4 years old or 40 years old. It doesn't matter. God saved us for a reason. And we put our trust in Christ. And what we do next is we learn to worship God. We learn to do things for God. Or do everything that we do worshiping God. You think of David. David was out in the fields learning to be a shepherd. And he was doing that to glorify God. Doing it to his very best of his ability. And we go to school, don't we? And we do it our very best. We revise for our exams. We learn for tests, we do our homework, and we do it to the very best of our ability because we're worshiping God in everything that we do. He sends the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to come and to live inside us and to change us, to make us more like Jesus, to make us more holy so that we do less sin. And we learn more about God. God has a plan for you and I. And it's to make us a boy or a girl or a man or woman after his own heart. He wants us to want the things that he wants. He wants to change our hearts. So we want to do and to say and to think and to be what he wants us to be. It's to put him in charge of our lives, to make him the headmaster of our lives, or the driver of our lives, or the boss of our lives, so that we serve him in everything that we do. You know, David, in this story, was anointed to be the next king of Israel. How wonderful is that? Now, I don't think anybody here will be the next king of Israel. But God may want you to be a missionary. He may want you to be a Sunday school teacher or a nurse, a pastor or a missionary. He could want you to be so many things. And my prayer for you this morning, and our prayer for you this morning, no matter who you are in this service, is that you come and, like David, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. And you allow him to start making you a man or a woman or a boy or girl who wants what God wants in everything that they do.